This is Mucho African Radio. My name is Murat Nahimana, and I'm here with Sylvia, the CEO of DBDLI and the co-founder of the symposium, which today is Reflection to Action, Ubuntu-Centered Perspective in Education. Sylvia, how are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for the invitation to be here.
And we'd like to ask, by what has your impression been of the last 2 days here at the symposium?
So the last two days that we've had in terms of hosting this symposium, and I love our name in terms of let me make sure I get it right. It's Reflection to Action, Ubuntu-Centered Perspectives in Education. So initially, the symposium started out to be less ambitious than it ended up being, which I think is a sign of the importance of the topics that we were discussing, because under that umbrella name, we were talking about the Black Learners Advisory Committee, about the Black Learners Advisory Committee report, and about the advisory committee itself. And we were also talking about the experiences happening around the same time frame as the launch of the BLAC report and it being accepted by the government in 1994 and 1995. In South Africa, Nelson Mandela was taking presidency in 1994. So we really thought this symposium is an opportunity to practice a bit of Sankofa. And for folks who don't know how we apply Sankofa in terms of its meaning, is that we look back and understand our traditions and what happened previous, and we bring the good things into the present. So in terms of thinking about it that way, we were thinking about, well, what was the foundation, things that were happening in South Africa and in Nova Scotia that might intersect. So we brought together a planning committee of individuals from both areas, and we started on this symposium planning. And as I said, it grew, right, or naturally, organically, because it needed to grow in terms of what we wanted to talk about and needed to talk about. So the symposium was focusing on various things. We had a keynote speaker, Dr. Malafe Asante. We had featured speakers that aligned with some of the sub-themes that were there. And I will, say to folks, if you go to our website, dbdli.ca, you'll be able to find the full program. So who was there and the presenters and their bios and such. But you'll also get the sense of what I'm going to try to convey right now, the depth of what we hope to cover. So the importance was, what is the connection between community, grassroots organizing, into structures and organizations? And what that led us to, as we thought about the recommendations, the 46 recommendations, we thought about that. And as we thought about the Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute, one of the significant recommendations that was fulfilled in 2012, we wanted to make that bridge connection. And where that shows up is community voice. So what Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute takes as its guide is from individual and collective voices from our communities across the province. It takes it from organizations that have structural connections to talk about what do we need to do so that learners across the spectrum can have pride because they know their history, culture, and heritage, and can have an understanding that resilience into transformation is possible when you take action. And the other kind of thread theme throughout this symposium 2 days was that call to action. So what is it we're going to do? So what? We've had these great conversations. So what? We've been together in family ways we want to do. And so what? We had amazing food that represented culture, local and international, all great things. So what? That's where we keep talking about the phrase, the call to action. And some parts of the program demonstrated that there was already things in play. that there was already actions taken, and that some of the programs and the initiatives that are happening within government, that are happening within the regional centers of education, as we call it here, and that are happening in community, are actions that we could amplify or that we can strengthen. So the 2 days that you can get a sense of, try to pack in a lot. If I could mention what we've kind of done previously, then in one sense led to this as well. So we've had previous conferences. We had one where we attended, again, in Nova Scotia, but at a university, St. Francis Xavier University. We were able to have colleagues attend the conference in South Africa, predominantly at the University of Venda. So we've been in each other's family homes, if you will, to say, and shared our stories, and just really were deepening relationships. And this was one more step in that process of understanding each other and understanding our connections. To keep that kind of going and moving forward, we're also contemplating a conference for May 2026. The dates are circa May 26, 27, 28, somewhere around there. That will be in Nova Scotia. And this time the university will be Mount St. Vincent University as a partner. And we will have folks come again internationally to be present at that. And we'll kind of, as soon as we take a breather and a breath after this symposium, we will launch into the planning for that conference.
Now, there has been many panels throughout the last 2 days. I was wondering your thoughts on the Mandela panel that took place this morning.
The Mandela panel this morning was so empowering. For all of us, I guess probably I should speak for myself, but I did have some conversations with folks. Of the number of things that stood out, one was that there is alignment with the experiences. So this idea about structurally denying us access and voice to quality learning, right? Structurally and systemically interfering with our development in our cultural way and our learning way, that happened in both spaces, right? And that was intentional because education is power. I know that quote should be attributed to someone in terms of naming, but education is power. And the system realized that. And so there was an intentional denial of that. We also heard, and what we hear is happening here as well, is people taking, once that was addressed, which started with the election of President Mandela, once that turned around in terms of being able to continue education, and they talked about free education, right? So being able to have that, to being able to go to in your public school system, to being able to go to higher education, because people were also denied higher education. Those were experiences of folks here as well. And in some ways, we wonder about that in both places, maybe still having a systemic way to continue, because there's barriers, right? So we talk about free education, for example, we talk about free education here. So we might want to, challenge that a bit in the sense about, so if you have to buy all these things to be able to go to school, this particular number of papers and pencils and all those things that people experience at the start of school, is it really free education? That might be, and then same in terms of being back with our brothers and sisters in the continent, there's things that they're taken as de facto way to do, but there also should be analyzed in terms of the barriers that exist. So so that panel was amazing. There was deep engagement here in terms of questions. We also heard about pedagogy and curriculum and that important work. And that's part of the pieces that we try to do here out of Delmore Buddy Day Learning Institute. It's important that there are resources at all levels and grades in the public school system so people can see themselves, know their accomplishments. And so I heard that. I heard it talked about as well in the curriculum. So how do we model being Afrocentric, Afrocentric? We had a discussion about discerning those uniqueness as well, but landed on there's enough in terms of the application of it, where they're semi-interchangeable, but not wholly interchangeable. So this idea about what does it look like, what's my practices in the classroom, and they talked about using arts, music, where available the language that folks have. We don't have our own unique African Nova Scotian language here, right? But where those are and valuing those in terms of the teaching. So there was a lot to learn from hearing the panelists talk about historically what things were that were experienced in contemporary times, what people are doing.
And so the goal was to bridge the Nova Scotia to the continent. How do you think a Black radio in Canada could achieve such a bridge?
Oh, I think that it's what we need to happen, because that communication, it also models our oral way of being in terms of communication, but it's, you know, those are going across the airways, right? And that is really a very important piece, and it's a necessary piece for us to have in order to keep this momentum going. And I know myself personally in terms of being able to talk to folks about what is a potential, like how do you feel that it could be used? I mean, just imagining tuning into the radio and hearing the stories about what is happening in any of the, for example, 52 local historical Black communities in Nova Scotia. Imagine having that conversation being able to happen with someone in the continent, in South Africa, where we're most talking about now, but we've also been in Ghana, folks have been in other places. So it's barrier breaking.
Thank you, Sylvia, for being on Mucha Radio.
Thank you for the opportunity.